The sermon that we will have today is entitled Come and See. And I was thinking about our lives. Sometimes tragedy strikes. A family, a church, a community. And we wonder why. It's something we'll see in today's scripture passage. In the middle of the Gospel of Matthew, John the Baptist is suffering. He's in jail while Jesus is drawing big crowds. And John's career had a great start. He baptized Jesus in the Jordan, and when he baptized Jesus, he said, "He must wax while I must wane." And that's exactly what happened. Jesus became greater and John became smaller. And so John actually had the nerve to say to Herod that he shouldn't have married his brother's wife. And so he ended up in jail. And John wonders, why? Why? And that brings us to our text. So our text today is Matthew 11, verses 1 to 6. Matthew 11, verses 1 to 6. Nice. Got it? Good. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." And this is the word of the Lord. John is suffering in jail. Life has been cruel to him lately, and he has his doubts. Why am I in jail while Jesus is doing so well? And so John has some questions. And the big is this: are you the Messiah? The one who is to come? So John sends his disciples off to Jesus to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect someone else?" We certainly can understand that John has some questions. And we also understand where he's coming from. In the beginning of his career, he was making waves. And now here he is stuck in jail. And in the meantime, here's Jesus doing all these wonderful things. Jesus is not turning out the way that John was expecting him to. "What's in it for me, Jesus?" he seems to say. John the Baptist has doubts. And someone once said, "Religion is easy, faith is hard." And John is finding that out. You know, some years ago, I found Jesus' answer disappointing and cruel. "Why not just rescue him? You're doing all these other things." That seems puzzling. If the blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, deaf hear, dead are raised, poor have good news, how does that help John the Baptist? And why not get him out of jail while you're at it, Jesus? "Are you the one?" John asks. "Who are you? Show me." This is a question that all of Israel has to answer. Yes, we see the miracles and love your stories, Jesus. But Israelites ask, are you the one who will deliver Israel from its oppressors? Are you the one? You talk about a kingdom all the time. Jesus, but what kind of kingdom are you talking about? Are you the one, Jesus? We can relate. Years ago, believers would not dare to ask such a question. 100 years ago? No. But nowadays, we ask questions. And perhaps there's honesty in this all. The Old Testament is full of questioning figures. Why, God? We may follow suit when illness or even death strikes. The why question is not far from us. I have noticed that often when I talk to people, as we walk the roads of life following Jesus, we have questions. The loss of a spouse or a child. A business venture goes belly up. A depression that nobody knows about and that we are afraid to talk about. And it's not going away. We have concerns. Why? Christianity today gave some reasons for why people leave the church. One of them is our question. Why does God allow bad things to happen? Sometimes faith is difficult, and sometimes it's the only thing we have. Even closer to home is John's question, and a question for us, are you the one? Is it really possible for a man who lived 2,000 years ago to bring in a new kingdom of righteousness for us? As church-going believers, we may not like it, but the question is being asked. And it is not foreign to us either. Does Jesus' answer seem strange to you? It's an odd thing. When Jesus is asked a question, and when he gives an answer, quite often it seems as if he's not answering the question at all. And that is so interesting. And then when you think about it, it starts to make sense. And we notice that today too. To understand Jesus' answer, we have to look at the Old Testament, particularly at the book of Isaiah. Jesus specifically tells John's disciples what they are to see. He says, go back to John and tell him what you see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's what you see. Go home and tell John. Or go to the jail. I always find it interesting that people in jail can have visitors that can just tell them things. You see that with the letters of Paul, and you see it in the gospel here. But anyway, John the Baptist is born in a priest family. His father was a priest. His mother came from a priest family. He knows. He knew the scriptures well. He knows that Jesus' answer ties right into the prophecies of Isaiah, the Psalms, and other scriptures. The Messiah would come and do those things. Justice and healing would be brought to Israel and to all the nations. Jesus uses Isaiah's visions to say that his mission is among people who need it the most. People who experience the hurts of life. Jesus' actions are a foretaste of a change and the wholeness that the kingdom is going to bring. But now, it's only in part. He will heal things and he will make things right when he returns. And then there will be no more crying there. Come and see John. The promised one is here. Yet, John is still in jail. And there he will stay until he dies. The kingdom that Jesus brings is here and now. Jesus' actions show that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But as I said, John is still in jail. So we can understand his question. And before long, he will lose his head. Literally. The kingdom is here only in part. As John will find out when Salome dances her dance of the seven veils. So, things are not going the way John the Baptist had hoped. In spite of the power that Jesus is showing in Israel, John knows what Jesus is telling him. The kingdom that scriptures promised is here. Just you know Isaiah, John. You know the kingdom is here. Even while he suffers. I suspect that John understands this. He knows the prophets well. All of a sudden, light goes on in our heads too. John did not ask, get me out of jail, Jesus. No. He asked, are you the one? And Jesus said, yes, I am. Eventually, Jesus too will die a cruel death. A redeeming death that will set all things straight. All the wrong things that John has preached about in the desert. Jesus wants John's disciples to tell John about the beginning of the new kingdom that they have seen when they visited Jesus. The kingdom is small now, but it will grow, and it will be perfected when Christ returns. All the things that Jesus is doing announce the new kingdom. Jesus, that last line is so beautiful in our text. Jesus understands where John is coming from, and he understands John's frustration. So he said, blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me. John, once you've figured out of my mission, you will be blessed in the end. Don't be offended. Believe me, I am the one. In our story, Jesus is announcing his kingdom. A kingdom of renewed relationship. Renewed relationships with God, with our neighbor, and with his earth. It is the good news of the kingdom that John the Baptist heard. And it's also good news for us. Jesus is the promised Savior. He is the one. Through Jesus Christ, we have new starts. Through him, we too can make new starts. And through him, we can have our community, the church. He has changed our lives. Yes, we know only too well that we still live in a broken world. Both John and we experience that every day. But here's the thing. Jesus has come to stand beside us. No, I cannot explain God's way with the world. That's a mystery. We don't know why bad things happen. If somebody explains it to you, it probably falls short. We do not know why bad things happen. But God has given us Jesus, his son. And we belong to him. And that is our comfort in life and in death. Already here and now, there is a beginning of a new kingdom, but it's present only in part. And it will be perfected when Christ returns. It is a wonderful aspect of Reformed belief that God is king over all of creation and over our whole lives. So whether we're caring for parents, raising kids, voting, writing, farming, banking, learning, working with computers, read the human sexuality report. When we're working with computers, or even when we choose whom we will share our lives with, it's all done for Him. May His name be praised in our lives. Important for Christ's Christian behavior is that the deeds of Christians here and now are important. They are already being built into God's advancing kingdom. To mention a very well-known story, when Luther was asked, "What would you do today if you knew that God was returning tomorrow?" He said, "I would plant an apple tree." I love that. And Christians do not simply look at the cross of Christ with prayerful reverence. We do that, but we also do more. We are set in motion by its power, energized by it, and upheld by it. Our labor is not only not in vain, it has eternal significance. And because it is being built into God's future, John the Baptist and also we do not always see this larger picture. But it will be perfected when Christ returns. It will be perfected when Christ returns. Then a new Jerusalem will come down from heaven, as we read in Revelation 21. And it will be a gift. It will not be our doing. We are headed for a new earth. What would John's disciples see if they were to visit First Church here? In these pandemic times, churches have their ups and downs. Will it ever return to normal? Will we ever have a normal church? Will this church ever be full? Nevertheless, in spite of all that, come and see. Come and see. People are singing. Pastors are preaching. Council is meeting. Children are being baptized. Young people are making profession of faith. And the deacons are looking after the needs and the community. I'm grateful for our faithful support for missions and for World Renew. Is the collection today for World Renew? Did I have that straight? Yes, I have it straight. I was telling the person from Nigeria, not all people from Africa are from Kenya, but I tried. And and I've been to Kenya 7 times now, and I am so grateful for what the World Renew is doing in Kenya and also in Jos, Nigeria, and so on. We're so grateful for that. And so come and see. Come and see. Things are happening. One thing is important. Pray for the Holy Spirit to be here as all these things in church get done. In our services, in our council meetings, and as people work on all the things that make a church the church. Matthew, the gospel writer, wants the world to know that Jesus is the promised one. So right after he preached his unforgettable Sermon on the Mount, he tells the story of John the Baptist, wanting to know if Jesus was really the Messiah. There's no accident. He puts it right there. So at Matthew 7, it's the end of the Gospel on the Mount, and then not long after that, we read the story. I'm the one. I'm the one. And as we've seen, Jesus tells John the Baptist in words that he could understand. Yes, I am the Messiah that you that was promised. And do not be offended if it's not the way you expect it to be. That is the gospel of Matthew. By his death and resurrection, Jesus is the one who brings his kingdom into our world and into our lives. And do not be offended if it's not what you expect it to be. Jesus came into a sin-affected world, and he came to stand beside us. He suffered and died for us. He will ultimately make things right again. Blessed are we when we take no offense at him. In our lives, in our church, a new kingdom is coming. All of us can already be part of it now. Do not just wait for his coming. Live his presence today. Amen. Let us pray, people. Lord our God, you have done so much for us. The message of the kingdom is good news for us too. Even in a broken world that John the Baptist and we experience, we need the redemption and the healing that Jesus came to bring. A redemption that touches us all. For we are all caught up in the brokenness of this world, a world groaning for redemption. Help us to live and to bring the message of redemption right where we are. Grant us forgiveness when we forget our task. Be with this church as it inspires us to live out your word. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.